Well, welcome everyone to the Region 3 Planning and Policy Council meeting. My name's Kirby Fye. I'm with the department. I'm listed as Amy Holland on your screen, but this is Kirby Fye. Just a few things I'd like to go over before we get the meeting started. Per Governor Lee's Executive Order 78, this meeting is being recorded and it will be posted to the department website within the next day or two. With that being said, please make sure your phones or your computer is muted if you're not speaking, just to prevent any feedback from coming through. And if you have any questions or comments or you're presenting, please just state your name beforehand because it's helpful when capturing the minutes of the meeting. I'm going to go ahead and go through the attendees right now. I'm going to start with the individuals who have joined via computer, so because I can see their name, and then I'll go to the individuals who have called in. So like I said, this is Kirby Fye. I'm with the department. I see Anna Pertano-Biggs, Brad Franks, Chelsea Jones, Anna King,
and again, I say
Eve Knight. Oops, hold on. Let me see, hold on. Cheryl Williams, Chelsea Jones, Gail Lodato, Gina Turley, Jen Talbert, Jennifer Hennessy, Kathy Milam, Kurt Hipple, Leah Pastilla, Rachel Endo, Rachel Geringer, Rhonda Moore, Trish Cunningham, and now we'll go to the individuals who have called in. If you've called in, can you please state your name?
Melissa Jensen.
Pardon, can you say that a little louder?
Melissa Jensen with Volunteer Behavioral Health.
Hi, Melissa.
Hi. Tanya Ballou and Connie Farmer with Volunteer Behavioral Health.
Hi, welcome.
Hi.
Nicole Bates.
Hi, Nicole.
Hey there. Hello, this is Kara Coleman with Mental Health Cooperative.
Hi, Kara.
Hi.
Anyone else that I've missed if you've called in?
Heather Vestal, advocate with Tennessee Mental Health Consumers Association.
Hi, Heather. Long time no talk.
Yes.
Is that everyone? I think it might be. Oh, and Amy Urban just joined us as well. All right. Well, Deanne, I'm going to go ahead and hand it over to you.
Thanks, Kirby. Can I get a motion to approve the minutes from last meeting? Rhonda sent those out yesterday morning as well as, I believe, maybe a month ago, but for sure they went out yesterday from January 14. Any changes or do we have a motion to accept?
Hey, this is Jen Talbert. Very, very minor, y'all. But it's got my name in there spelled as Talbert, which is really cool, actually. I like that. But it is T-A-L-B-E-R-T. I appreciate it.
Okay.
I'm going to remember the Talbert. I like that. That's cool.
This is Kara. I make a motion to approve.
Okay. Can I get a second?
Brad Franks, I'll second.
Thank you. I will say, if you do call in, it is difficult if we don't know the spelling of your name, so I apologize for that. Hopefully we can do our best to get all the spellings accurate. Okay, let me get my agenda pulled back up. Okay, so Kirby, back to you for the department report.
Okay, let me pull up this update. Just a few updates since we've last met in January. The February report, three-year plan, year two, FY21, has been completed and shared with regional council leadership. If you're interested in viewing this document, please contact your regional council chair or vice chair so that you can view it. As you all know, the 2021 needs assessments are due by close of business today. I'm sure this will be something that we talk about during the meeting today. So just want to add that to the update list. The department would also like to encourage the planning and policy councils to identify matters affecting individuals with mental illness, substance use issues, and or co-occurring disorders that may require legislative attention or action in the 2022 legislative session. Regional councils may use their 2021 needs assessments to help generate ideas for legislative proposals. This year, the legislative proposals are due to me by close of business on May 17th. If you have any questions, the legislative proposal process and question forms were sent out via email from Avis, I believe, last week. But if you have any questions on this process, please do not hesitate to reach out to me. I'd be happy to help. The department will receive an additional $15 million from SAMHSA through the Community Mental Health Services Block Grant and $30 million for the Substance Abuse Prevention and Treatment Block Grant to assist in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. States may use this supplemental COVID-19 relief funding to respond to needs and gaps due to the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. More information about that will be coming out in the future. The department will receive an additional $687,000 to set aside 5% of the mental health block grant allocation to support evidence-based crisis systems. The 5% set aside will be used for evidence-based crisis care programs addressing the needs of individuals with serious mental illness and children with serious mental and emotional disturbances. Funds may be used to address some or all of a set, of core crisis care elements, including centrally deployed 24/7 mobile crisis units, short-term residential crisis stabilization beds, evidence-based protocols for delivering services to individuals with suicide risk, and regional or statewide crisis call centers coordinating in real time. More information will be coming out concerning that as well. The System of Care Across Tennessee Network Community Engagement Program will partner with local community teams in their region to work toward community buy-in, cross-agency collaboration, family and youth involvement, and coordinated services and supports for children and youth with social, emotional, or behavioral concerns, as well as their families. Community engagement specialists will work to embed System of Care values and principles in all settings by providing education, training, and technical assistance about topics surrounding children's mental health and whole family health. Community engagement specialists will partner with local communities to identify areas of services and supports that could be more family friendly and easier to access. The deadline to apply for this is April 26th. There's more information. I've included a link in this, which I will send to you right after the meeting. And there's a link that you can click on that will provide more information concerning this announcement of funding. And that's what I have.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for Kirby?
Okay.
This is Rachel Geringer. I have a question. Can you repeat what you were saying about the legislative proposal? Because the email that I got was about changing the language, and it seemed like that was, it said it was approved. So what are you, can you repeat that part? Sorry.
Which email did you receive?
It was the one about Governor Lee approving the change in language from it being that you must have family and consumer representation to something like it's encouraged. Is that what you're talking about, the email that we should have received?
Hey, Kirby.
No, but
I think I can clear this up.
Thanks.
Yeah, that email was about the department's legislative proposal from this year that is now becoming law. What Kirby was referencing is an email that is trying to gather legislative proposals from the regional councils for consideration in next year's General Assembly of 2022.
Okay. And I can add too that if you are interested in participating in that, then contact Nicole Bates. She's on this email. She's the chair of the legislative committee, and they have a meeting coming up, I believe, next Friday morning to work on that.
And this is Nicole. Rachel, I can extend that invitation to you so you can join if you can.
Thank you.
So, go ahead. Who was going to say something? Okay. So the needs assessments are due, like Kirby talked about, the adults have been submitted. And I believe, Amy, you guys were turning yours in today after you met, correct?
Yep, that's correct.
Okay. Kirby, do you want us to discuss what they're submitting here?
Sure.
Okay. Amy, do you want to – I don't see anyone on for adults, but we'll reassess that after you go. Do you want to just give us what your two needs assessments are from the Child and Adolescent Committee?
Mm-hmm, sure. Yes, and thank you so much for the help that you guys have given and guidance in this process, as well as to the committee. Thank you so much. This has been a joint effort with a lot of hard work this year, and we're really proud and excited to submit our needs. We'll start with the mental health need, which is similar to the need that we submitted last year as well, which is there is a need for additional behavioral health respite services and resources in our region. There are respite services that exist in the state of Tennessee, and we've got the data to support that, but it's just unclear how many are used are actually utilized from our region. And we just kind of sense that there is probably more that is needed in our region because there's not a specific respite provider in Region 3. And so we are going to submit that as our mental health need. And then for our substance abuse need, we are going to submit the same need that we submitted last year, which is there are, we need more adolescent-specific recovery support groups, looking for groups that exist specifically to meet the needs of adolescents as they step down from formal substance abuse treatment. And again, so we've got some data to show like there's just such a limit in those kinds of support groups in our region, so we're going to submit that as well. Any questions on that? Or thoughts or conversation or things to add?
I was just going to say, if you do want to have input or wonder how you can be a part of these, Amy is the chair of the Child and Adolescent Committee, and that's where these decisions are made. And so please contact Amy if you want to be a part of any of these needs assessments going forward, and the same for the adult when we get there.
So, and I'd like to just put a plug in that we are – one of our biggest, I think, deficits is that we just don't have adequate representation on our committee and are seeking more robust participation. We've got a great little group that is, been faithfully meeting every month, but we're small. And we would love to have more consumers, more partners geographically across our area. And we know that there are people on this call. You guys have offices and connections and colleagues all across Region 3, going up to Crossville, Cookville, and even in our closer but outlying areas such as, Bledsoe County or Grundy County and those kinds of places. We desperately need more people to participate so that we can ensure we are representative in what are the needs that we're going to go with. So,
Amy this is Gail. Amy, you guys have done an amazing job. I've just been so excited to watch what you guys are doing. I do wonder if I know the callers don't have access to the chat, but I don't have a problem monitoring the chat for those that could put their name in if they are interested in participating. And then I'll make sure I get that information to you, Amy. And then if you are a caller, you can just verbalize, and again, I'll write it down so that I make sure that I get the information to the right people that are interested.
Thank you.
This is Connie Farmer. I just called in. If you could please add me.
Thank you, Gail. Thank you, Connie.
Thanks.
And again, even if you, can't participate, I know we're all very busy and have lots of different meetings we sit on, but if you have a colleague, somebody in your organization that might just want to get involved into this kind of thing, and again, not only just in our area, but across the region, please send me their information.
And really, really love to hear with the Children and Youth Committee from parents, if there are any parents that are interested. I'd love to hear from the youth too, but I know there's some guidelines around that. But we would love to hear your experiences and the challenges and the things that are going well.
We actually have a youth that's been attending our meeting a little bit from the Chattanooga Mayor's Council. So that's been exciting to get youth input. Okay. Well, if anybody has anything else for me, I'll defer back to you guys.
Okay. Thank you. Do we have Donna or Debbie on?
Donna's on.
Hi, this is Donna.
Yep.
Sorry, I just jumped on.
Hey, Donna. Do you want to give a quick report on the adult needs assessment? I know it's already been submitted. I'm kind of putting you on the spot if you remember what it was.
I do. I'm happy to do that for the adult committee, and had a little difficulty getting on. Sorry, guys. So we had several committee meetings and really appreciated everybody's involvement. And looking for more people to be involved with the adult committee. But we had a good working group, and thank everybody for their participation. Debbie kind of took on the substance abuse side and worked hard with providers. I took on the mental health side, and this is all, of course, after Connie Ramsey was not able to continue to be with us due to her personal situation occurring this year. So the two needs that we established, the first one that came out of the for the substance abuse side, those were the needs that we came up with. And that really, continuation of telehealth in order to meet the needs of their clients in Region 3, and data compiled from several organizations. We got data from CADA, Spiro Health, Cherokee, Volunteer, Mental Health Co-op. And really, and so I'll just read you this, they show that the telehealth has increased connection to care up to 48%. But this is some probably great information to share with all of Region 3. It really shows the need and how people were able to stay connected and even get connected to substance abuse and mental health treatment by the use of telehealth. And we know there's a lot going on in the state about that. But that was the need submitted by from the substance abuse adult. On the mental health need, we identified the need for additional behavioral health treatment and recovery practitioners in our service area, which we also acknowledged as a universal need for the state of Tennessee. And we recognized the need for more culturally diverse providers as well. And so then we needed that led to identifying the need for the department to undertake a long-term study. Long-range study to address the access to behavioral health treatment and recovery services and the current and future needs for a sufficient, well-trained, and culturally diverse behavioral health workforce.
Great,
so that
thank
was
you.
Our work.
Thank you, and we will go into more detail about the needs right now for the adult committee when we get down to that section. But Amy, once you get those to me, we will get those submitted, and then y'all can start working on 2022. thank you guys for your hard work on that. I really appreciate it. The third component are our legislative proposals, and Nicole, I'm just going to ask if you guys need anything, are you
have you started? Kind of where you are in that process. I know you guys have a meeting next Friday as well.
Yes, thank you so much. Yes, our plan at this point was for the needs assessment, obviously, to be completed so that we could be reviewing that information and then incorporate all of the information from the legislative component. And we have not had a meeting. We will be meeting next Friday, and anybody who is interested is welcome to join us. Please let me know, and I'd be happy to share the invitation and look forward to a robust discussion.
Great, thank you. Kirby, can you remind me one more time when the legislative proposal is due?
May 17th.
Perfect, thank you. Okay, the next thing that we're going to go to is secretary nominations. Rhonda has done a wonderful job with us for the past year or so. I can't remember when it started, but some things in her life have changed. She's retired now and is wanting to focus more efforts on her personal life and her family. And so we respect that decision. And so we are bringing forth any secretary nominations forward. Now, Kirby, it's been a long time since I've done this, so you might have to keep me on track with the formalization of it all. But first, do we have anyone who is interested in being the secretary? The role includes you're the communication source from me or Gail or the department. You are in charge of the listserv of participants. You keep the meeting minutes. You communicate with the department on the agenda. You turn in your minutes. You send reminders. It's not difficult. However, there are deadlines and things that, you know, we really do need to meet and stay on top of. So you do need to be able to be present and checking email and being available as things do pop up pretty quickly, and you have the hub of all the people. So we really rely on that position to communicate for us to the entire region. I've done it. I think Gail has done it. It's not hard. And so, you know, we would love any nominations or anyone who is interested. Feel free to nominate someone. Do we have anyone who is willing to volunteer or nominate? We have to have one. And Kirby, can you remind me, so I'm on the child and adolescent side. Gail represents the adult. Do we, and substance use, right, Gail?
Yes.
What are the criteria, Kirby, for all the positions?
For the secretary, it doesn't matter, really.
Okay.
They can represent. And I will tell you, it sounds like a lot. I mean, it is a lot. But I am there to help you every step of the way.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to be going into it and just have no idea what's going on. So
yeah.
I hope you're not afraid of that if you're interested in becoming the secretary. I will send reminders, and I'm there to help whenever needed.
Do we get someone to nominate somebody?
I can do it if no one else is going to do it. This is Rachel Geringer. And Eve is shaking her head at me.
Rachel, you would be amazing, but I had a conversation with you last week, and so...
I don't have room on my plate, but I feel like it's important. So.
It's extremely important, but I don't want you to take on something because we're really wanting to make sure that our communication is the absolute best it can be with everyone interested in what's going on in our region. And so I'm not going to say you can't, Rachel, but I also respect what you told me last week.
Guys, this reminds me of a scene from Hunger Games when Katniss acts as tribute or whatever for her sister. So I think Eve probably just volunteered, right? No, I'm joking.
So I'm in the same boat as Rachel, right? So Rachel and I both are chairs of several community committees already. And, I mean, I feel like she and I, both of us are already super covered up. I'm just going to be honest with everyone. We're super covered up with leading these other groups, and I know that she and I both would be ones to volunteer, but honestly, we don't have the capacity. Rachel, you don't have the capacity to do this. I'm glad, Gail, that you stepped up and said too, because we know that, you know, you just don't. I mean,
yeah, thank you all for keeping me in check.
And I would volunteer, except I'm going to continue to spearhead the Children's Committee for a while, and happy to do that. I think, though, and maybe others too, there may be someone that's not on this call that you know that would be good. And I'm thinking about these, like, up-and-coming professionals that want to be involved and plug in. And that's kind of a neat way to do that. And I've got a person in mind, but, of course, you know, she would probably have to consult with her supervisor and make sure. So is that somebody that we have to make that final call right now in this meeting, or because I have a possibility?
Yeah, I agree. I want to second what Amy is saying. I think this is an opportunity to bring in some agencies that haven't been involved that could be, or pull some other people from our other agencies into the mix and get them plugged in. So I think if several of us go and try and see if we can and dig up some potential candidates, that might be better than just adding some more to our already really full plates.
So the only concern I have about that is that our chair is going to go out on maternity leave. And we also, whoever either nominates themselves or is nominated and willing to take it, we have to vote, correct, Kirby? And so that leaves me as chair and secretary, and I'm just honestly concerned about my ability right now. So even if it's an interim, guys.
Can we have an interim, or can Rhonda keep on until next meeting, or can we vote by email? Is that allowed?
You can vote by email as well.
Okay.
It's an option.
This is Donna. When is the normal election of officers? Is that not to be, would that not become, do we usually do that for the new fiscal year?
No. So the term limits are 3 years. So right now in Region 3, the new term isn't until 2022. So the election of officers wouldn't be until next year. But you can
do them whenever somebody that was the term of office anymore.
Yeah,
I didn't realize
3 years.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
But you can, you know, you don't have to, things change, you know, so 3 years isn't always possible for everyone. So you can do an election at any time. It's just that's usually when it happens.
Is Kara Coleman at all receptive to this role? And would her supervisor let her?
My year goal is to unfortunately say no whenever I have too much on my plate. And I think at this time, at this moment, exactly, I have a little bit too much on my plate. I think I would be extending and wouldn't be able to give my full capacity to it, but I do appreciate the nomination. Talk to me in about maybe 3 months, and it may be another option, but as of this moment, unfortunately, I'm going to have to decline the nomination.
So I don't want to pick on what Kara's just said, but I will say that I do believe every single one of us is at capacity, and so I think that it's just going to need to be someone just stepping up and, you know, Gail will be able to help you. It's really not that hard. We just need to be able to have someone who can communicate. Because, I mean, I think all of us can agree that the part of being in social services is that we're, you know, it's like our status quo of being overfilled.
Okay. I hear that. And so with that said, is it possible that if we commit to like doing it until the next meeting and we could present someone, you know, and have an interim for now, and knowing that it's just a very short term until we can get somebody else to finish that. Like, I hate to do it, but I mean, I'd be willing to, I can forward some emails and manage an email listserv and I'll do it, but I would only do it with the thing that I'd like to bring my person that I'm thinking about on board, you know, and maybe she would be able to start at our next meeting.
I appreciate, you know, that while in social services, we're just all used to being stretched beyond capacity, but, you know, that people, Kara and Rachel, and myself, we're not just stretched beyond capacity because we have one or two extra things on our plate. I mean, we're like working 16-hour days, and I was going to wait until we talked about the needs assessment to bring up that I think we're missing a huge part of our needs that we're currently having as the landscape has changed. I mean, we need more support as a treatment provider community. We have huge gaps that all of us are filling 3 and 4 roles deep, trying to fill these gaps in services. And I hear it's so discouraging to hear, oh, we've got $15 million coming down for mental health. Well, we have a need for instance, active rescuing. We need somebody on the street actively rescuing mental health consumers. Rachel's been doing it volunteer. I've been doing it volunteer, literally on the streets, actively rescuing people that are so acute because they've not received in-person services for a year, because they can't get through the emergency rooms where everyone is shuffled. And not only do we need active rescuers to meet those mental health needs, we need support for the people who are actively rescuing in financially. We need financial support for active rescuers. So, I mean, I do appreciate that in social services we all commit to doing both volunteer stuff and our professional stuff, but at this point, like, I don't see how any of us on this call could take on any more without ending up in a mental health crisis ourselves. And I think the only way is going to be to recruit new people, like Amy was saying, recruit new people. We can't just keep asking the same handful of people to do absolutely everything all the time. I mean, how many people have we lost from this meeting? Have we lost from our field because they're just so burnt out that they give it up completely?
Rhonda, will you just hang with me for the next couple months?
I can hang. I may need some assistance with folks helping forward things. My problem is, like, when Deanna needed something from me last Friday, I was not only in an area where I did not have access to any internet, I was in the emergency room at the same time. So
wow.
Between
okay.
My health and where I can hang with you. I just may need a little support. If I send you the email list, if something comes in from Kirby, if you could just go ahead and forward it to everybody instead of sending it to me and it filtering through, that might help. I can, like, I'll wrap up these minutes and make sure everything gets sent out for the July meeting. That would help me immensely because
I can help you.
Where I'm at, I don't always have good internet. I literally was at our cabin, had to go to the emergency room. I couldn't have sent her what I wanted to, even if I hadn't been in the emergency room, because I was nowhere that had internet service. So.
Well, I appreciate it. If you would do that, that'd be great. Okay.
Yeah.
And then
I'll do the minutes, get the agenda and all that before the July meeting. If you'll just forward things on as they come in from Kirby.
Okay. Go ahead, Deanna.
Okay. Let's go to committee reports for the adult committee. I'm even afraid to bring this up, but they need a chair for the adult committee. Connie has had a personal tragedy happened and has had to step down. And so we are wanting to select an adult chair today. And I will say
Donna and Debbie have done a wonderful job helping out, but they have definitely filled their roles of chair and vice chair of this committee as well as the adult committees over the last decade, as long as I've been around. And so we would like someone else to fulfill that role.
Yeah, I can speak on Debbie on my behalf, and she, I got a note, Dan, and you did also. She is unable to get on the meeting today. She's got something else pretty urgently going on. Guys, this, you know, Region 3, been at this, you know, 25 years. Region 3 has always had core providers here in town and advocates who have passionately been part of the Region 3, you know, Planning Policy Council. I don't remember a time that anybody 20 years ago or 15 years ago or today wasn't overly busy and taking on other projects because of the passion they have. I agree with what I heard. We need to bring more people in. But, you know, it's repeatedly been these same agencies who have stepped up to take on the leadership position, then it would be great to see that expand. We put out just in our committee as we talked and tried to get internally somebody that would agree, and so people are thinking about that. You know, I think it's hard to ask somebody to be a committee chair or an officer for 3 years. Again, I didn't realize that it had changed, and I do understand we need some permanency, so I understand the change. I think that makes it a little more difficult. But we didn't have anybody, Deanna, from our adult committee that felt at this time that they could step up to do that. And it's hard. It's hard when you beg for participation to get people to just, you know, and this was out to the whole, and this is not a what's going with us. The, you know, ideally the adults committee should be the children's or legislative. We poll the membership. We get all the needs. We put out 4, 5, 6 emails, never heard from anybody on their needs for the adults. And so that makes it a little hard to get enthusiastic about chairing a committee where you know you're going to have to sit there and decide, oh, well, this is the need for Region 3, or this is what's going on for Region 3. So I agree totally. You know, we need some focused effort on recruitment. But sorry, I don't have anybody to offer right now that had said they would step up to take this chair.
Well, again, this is kind of the conversation, you know, that we were having, and I think that if there are those of us that can make a concerted effort to reach out to our colleagues, I feel pretty strongly that I could bring at least one of those, like I said, the secretary or the chair, you know, I'm just going to basically twist some arms and get some folks to start coming. I've kind of loosely done that. But, I mean, I think that we're kind of at a state of crisis that it's going to take a real pushed, focused effort from us on this call to try to get some more people in because we can't do it ourselves. I mean,
I'm going to nominate Trish Cunningham from the McNabb Center, who is in the CHI-2 role in this region for the adult chair. I believe that she can also address what and hopefully make a difference with what Rachel just put in the text, which is that we have a number of counties that are not represented. And I think with her work in all of the counties, in the 11 counties in our service area, maybe that'll help a little bit. Trish, would you be willing to do that? She probably hung up. And so that's what happens when you hang up in the middle of a meeting is you get nominated and voted in.
Hey, can you guys hear me? Yes?
Yes, we can now.
Okay, I'm on my phone because I couldn't get audio to work. Yes, I am new to this this role and working in Region 3. My role is a little bit different than just direct services, so that's probably why I'm not, I didn't volunteer myself, but now that Gail has nominated me. Thank you so much, Gail, for putting me on the spot. I'm happy to help. I'll tell you a little bit about my role just so that you guys know and you can kind of fill in the gaps for me, because this is actually the first meeting that I've been to. So I work with I partner with the Tennessee Department of Mental Health, and I work to bring in to increase opportunities for affordable, permanent, quality housing for people in recovery from substance use. And so I perform my function. I really work with a lot of different agencies in that realm. So I'm not really a direct provider. So if you guys want to help fill in gaps for what's been going on in these meetings, that would be helpful for me. But yes, I would be happy to help.
Did you get our supervisor's approval?
Very funny, Brad.
Brad, would you approve Trish?
Yeah.
Just so you guys know, they're like both my supervisors, so I really can't say no at this point. Thanks, guys.
Trish, I'd be happy if you want to kind of help and consult, like, what the role looks like as a committee chair, if you know.
Okay.
We can work together on that if you'd like.
That would be great. Thank you so much.
We need to vote on that, or is it she accepted?
You don't need to vote on that.
Okay. Congratulations, Trish.
Thank you.
Yay. Thank you.
I appreciate the volunteer.
I'm going to reach out to you via email after this meeting just to go over a few things with you and answer any questions you might have as well about the committee.
Okay.
So just be on the lookout.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other committee reports? We've talked a lot about committees already. Anything else from child and adolescent or legislative before we move on? Let's move to providers and community mental health community announcements. First, let's go with hospital or mental health. Let's start with hospital. Any hospital providers on the call?
I'm here, Erlanger Behavioral Health Hospital. I just have brief updates. We do have some available. We have added an in-person IOP, so we're doing both virtual and in-person intensive outpatient services. That's 3 to 4 days a week where someone can come to our facility and receive group therapy, individual therapy, and medication management from our psychiatrist. It typically lasts about maybe 30 to 45 days is how that IOP works. And then we also have an in-person and virtual PHP or partial hospitalization programming, which is 5 days a week. It's a day program, so they come for 5 to 6 hours during the day, and they do group therapy, individual med management, and experiential therapy. And, so both of those can be accessed by just calling our regular intake number, which is 423-498-4602. And both of those programs have rolling admissions, so you can call. If it's after hours, you can call, and they'll schedule for you to come in the next day and join the program. Or if it's, you know, in the morning, if you were to call first thing in the morning, they could potentially even get you in the same day. So they are kind of a subacute. You know, it's not crisis level, but if you're feeling like I need more than just traditional outpatient, both those programs can get you engaged right away with treatment. They do accept 10 care, most commercial insurances, and some Medicare plans. I will tell you that we have stayed completely slammed with referrals. And they are the most acute patients I've ever seen. A lot of them we've watched and we've served over 2.5 years of being open. And it's, you know, I know it's anecdotal, but it's the most acute I have ever seen people. And we have about 6 times as many inquiries for services than we are able to provide services for. So that's what's happening over at the hospital.
Great, thank you. Any other hospital providers? Okay, mental health, and also I see Elliot on for CIT as well. So mental health or CIT, want to give an update, or TSPN here?
I can go. So with CIT, we are putting on a school next week. So we're fast and furious making sure everything is together with that. We've had a lot of support from the local community and with just helping and get what we need for this school. I can say also with CIT, we're doing our best to address needs in the community. We're working with volunteer on some of you've heard about the telehealth option, I guess, if you will, so that we can use that on the street. And that is helpful in a lot of cases. We're continuing to have meetings in the community to look at those needs. Eve sort of referenced earlier, we're doing the working with partners to be kind of boots on the ground, the tough cases, the ones that maybe aren't quite CON, or maybe, nobody's paying enough attention to see that they're CON in many of these cases, and really doing the boots on the ground work, but we're kind of getting tapped out with everybody wants to partner with us, nobody wants to fund us, and trying to figure that part out. So wherever there's opportunity or ideas or suggestions, that's something that we're also looking for so that we can bring on more help and resources and assets for this collaborative effort. So if there's no questions, I'll pretty much stop there and keep this meeting going.
Any questions about CIT from other providers?
Can you just explain the acronym and the program of CIT just real briefly so that everyone on the call is aware of what it is?
Sure. Yeah, a lot of these are call-in user that I'm not exactly sure who they are, but I felt like most people on here are pretty familiar. So crisis intervention team. So CIT is kind of a couple of things. One, it's a training, right? That's where a lot of people seem to stop and train. Historically, initially law enforcement, to better interact with people who are in a mental health crisis. And then it's also a program, right? It's more than a training, it's a program. And so that's this collaborative effort, very similar to what's being done in this meeting today, looking for those kind of individual issues as well as system issues, and then working together to collaborate to how are we going to solve that. That might be bringing in your health department folks. That might be bringing in your mental health folks. That might be whatever the community resources are. CIT is a vehicle to bring those together and problem solve and get some improved outcomes. So that's in a nutshell.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for asking.
Yes, thank you, Elliot. Any other mental health updates, providers?
Yeah, this is Anna, Hamilton County's Mental Health Court. That was a great update, Elliot. We value our partnership with you and the critical work that you're doing, and I hope we can find more funding for CIT because it's desperately needed. In regards to Mental Health Court, I just wanted to say that we do currently have some coronavirus relief funding from the Office of Criminal Justice Program through a Victim of Crime Act grant, it is. Some of that funding is time limited, but it's enabling us right now to provide, if you are just as involved, a mental health consumer and a victim of crime, and very broad to screen in on those, then we potentially can help with hygiene bags and food bags, transportation vouchers, some hotel vouchers, and critically something that we have some small pots of money, but we are really wanting to get them used because we know there's a need. So we have some durable medical equipment money. So if you know anyone who needs like eyeglasses, we have like things set up for that. And we have some small pots of prescription assistance money right now, as long as it's non-narcotics. So we do have to use that grant funding by the end of June. And so to make sure that everyone was aware, I know a lot of community partners have really been sending us referrals, and I'm really grateful for that. But I wanted to let you know that that is available. And then we have a separate Victim of Crime Act grant that has just been extended for a further 2 years. And so some of that type of specific assistance will be continuing in the next 2 years as well. So if you have any clients who think that might meet the criteria, please check in.
Great, thank you. Other announcements or updates from the community?
Hi, I'm Kathy Milam. I'm president of Chattanooga NAMI, and NAMI stands for the National Alliance on Mental Illness. And we are 100% volunteer organization, and I see 4 board members in this meeting. So 4 out of 27, we are involved in the community. We have a helpline, and many times people call us when they have no idea how to handle a mentally ill person, and we refer them out to people. We are involved with the CIT program. We're going to be involved with their school next week. We totally support them and encourage all our family members to call and ask for CIT. Without them, we would have much worse outcomes. We teach classes, and we currently are starting a family-to-family class tonight, which is full. And I totally believe that if we can help family members understand disorders, communication, medications, there is a much better outcome with the individual. Education is a big part of it. I also believe there would be less homelessness. People call us all the time and say, where can I put this person? I can't stand it anymore. We can help you with that. We advocate with our legislators, educate. We have a support group every month. And so that's my spiel. That's NAMI. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Hi, this is Kubra with United Healthcare Community Plan. Hello, everybody. I just want to remind everybody that we're still here. I'm still sponsoring community events. We're sponsoring the CIT training, this upcoming one. So please let me know if there's anything in the community you would like us to be involved and help you out with. I'm here. Don't hesitate to email me. We can always work something out. Just don't forget us, United Healthcare Community Plan.
Hi, this is Donna. Just a brief report from the AIM Center. We were able to reopen again to our members for in-person services, as well continue to do virtual, but we came back together on March the 22nd. And it's been a bit easier this time, which is wonderful and kind of relieving to be able to say, and our numbers have increased. I think we can truly say that for the in-person services, that having the ability to have vaccines in our area and really working with our members to get those vaccines. And of course, we're still wearing masks and social distances, but it's made quite the difference inside the clubhouse. So please know we're available to accept your referrals, and that's an interesting thing also. Our referrals are shooting up, so we've had a lot more calls, and we do believe everything we're hearing that there's a great need for treatment and recovery services, and so we appreciate all your support for that. And then I will tell you, so the AIM Center, and kind of in a way to give back to our community and to get our members involved, we have are announcing, and it's already out there, but we have mounted a Get Moving for Mental Health campaign for the month of May to recognize National Mental Health Awareness Month. And we really want this to be our community event, and we're bringing people into this, but it will be an interactive virtual event where we're encouraging everybody as they're able to move to get involved, and that's walking or running or bicycling, playing tennis, dancing, paddling, all those things that people do. but interactive website, and I will follow up Rhonda's email on this announcement and send out this everything, a flyer and everything. But we would love your support. But this is truly a way for our community to come together. There will be some meetups in town to be able to exercise together. You know, COVID is still not going to allow a lot of public events, but we hope everybody will join us and get on and log your steps and really speak to the need for treatment and recovery services, for more providers, for more funding, you know, and this advocacy work that NAMI and many others do. So we hope you will join us in this. But things are good at the AIM Center. Thank you.
Hey, Donna, I received your email. I will get back to you as soon as I have an answer for you. This is Kubra.
I love it. Thank you, Kubra.
Hi, this is Connie Farmer with Volunteer Behavioral Health. We are still active with our community in-person services. One of those things is our System of Care Across Tennessee programs. We are still active with the two teams that we had already. We've added four additional teams. We're in the process of hiring for those. Two of those will be in the Region 3 area. One of them covers four counties, but Polk County is one of those. And then the newest one is going to cover Hamilton and Bradley County. We're continuing with our in-school services, our Project Basic, Positive Action, and our school-based behavioral health liaisons. So we have 23 across our company right now, and several of those are in Region 3. We've hired for some of those. We've onboarded some of those, and some of those are still active. We're still looking for someone to take those positions. For our homeless services, we're continuing to do our supportive services for veteran families funded by the VA that does rapid rehousing for veterans experiencing homelessness. Our PATH programs are, we have a PATH worker in Chattanooga, and we have one in Athens that serves McMinn, Meigs, Monroe, and Loudoun. And we just got a new COC grant. So we already had a pre-COVID COC grant to serve people experiencing homelessness in the 10 rural counties in the COC area, non-veterans for rapid rehousing. And we just got an additional grant with CARES funding for those same 10 counties. But to serve more people, and we have a supervisor for that program, and we'll have 2.5 case managers. So we do rapid rehousing with our homeless services, and we also do rapid resolution, where we try to make sure that we can't help mediate with family or friends, you know, in the top housing market, to make sure we can't, you know, maybe help mend some fences to get people back in housing where they don't have to have a lease. So that's just the things off the top of my head.
Thank you. Other announcements?
This is Brad Franks from McNabb Center, and I was going to update you on the therapeutic preschool that we started back this past summer. We serve kids 4 to 6 years old that have experienced trauma, and they come to an IOP 4 days a week, and we help them by going through a 10-week curriculum focused on feeling safe, better interactions with their peers. We work with their daycares and families to try to help them understand what trauma is, how they may be experiencing that, and just different ways of coping with that trauma. I would also say that we're currently looking for an RN. If you have anybody that wants to work Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, no on call, that's on our site, mcnabbcenter.org. And I'm looking personally for an IOP therapist to cover our Silver Linings program, because it's me right now. So
I'd appreciate any help I could get there. Thank you.
Okay, any other mental health updates?
I'll do a quick plug. This is Jennifer Hennessy with Norris Academy. We're located just north of Knoxville, but we take youth from all over. So we are a residential facility. We serve youth with a neurodevelopmental diagnosis and an intellectual disability. So if anyone's working with youth, maybe you feel like you've exhausted your resources and just not sure where else to turn, and you feel like they might fit our criteria, just let us know. They stay with us for about 3 to 6 months. I can put our information in the chat as well.
Great. Thank you, Jennifer. Anyone else? Okay. My understanding was that Connie was the CAB for our region. Donna, do you know if she continued that position or if someone else is in charge of that?
Deanna, I don't know.
You don't?
Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
Does anybody else know on the call or anybody here from CAB?
This is Gina. She's had to quit CAB also.
Okay. That's what I wondered. Kirby, how would we find out who the new person over CAB is for our region?
Deanna, I'll reach out to the CAB chair to see who would be representing Region 3, and I'll give you that information.
Perfect. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
This is Gina Turley. I'm on it.
Oh.
Do y'all want me to fill in for Connie?
Do you have any updates?
Not off the top of my head. Sorry.
It's okay. It's okay. Do you know who the chair is? You said you don't.
Dina, I have to pull her name up.
Dina Savinas.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, Kirby, just send me her info and we'll make sure she has our information for this meeting. Okay, Kubra, I think you already went for United Healthcare Community Plan. Anyone on for Blue Care, 10 Care Select? Okay. Gail, did you want to talk about the consumer piece, family consumer piece?
Oh, I guess I thought I did. but that's okay. I just you know, one of the reasons, one of the reasons why I asked Lieutenant Mahaffey and others to kind of be more, describe more what their programs are and things like that is because we have some people that attend the meetings that may not know all of our acronyms and all of the words that we throw out there. And so I just want to make sure that we're being very inclusive and welcoming, and that's one way that I thought maybe we could do that. We really do want to encourage, and so I had talked to Rachel Gearing last week, and Nami, I'll be talking to all of you to see how we can increase participation amongst those that receive services from the many entities that are on this call, as well as those family members. So that is a goal that I have while Deanna goes and has her baby.
The second thing that I was going to say is that I will be going out in June. So in preparation for that, you guys all pretty much do this anyway, but just making sure that me and Gail are on all emails, and she will be taking over in June and will be also leading the next meeting. So thank you, Gail, for that. Also, if you would want, we are wanting presentations from providers. So if you feel like you have a new program and you want to spend some time talking about that versus it just being a quick community announcement, please email Gail and myself, and we can get you onto the agenda for the next meeting. I believe you can share your screen if you want to do a PowerPoint. We do want to have the opportunity for presentations across this community.
for what's available to our families and consumers, as well as being aware of any new resources and really making sure that we have an understanding of those resources. So if you have an idea or you feel like you would want to be a part of this, feel free to reach out to us. You know, we do have 2 hours allotted for this meeting, which we did fill when we were face-to-face with the network marketing at the end. And as you guys know, virtual things are just so different. And so this would allow us to share maybe what we're missing face-to-face when we have those moments to talk to each other one-on-one. So please feel free to reach out to us if that is something that you are interested in, and we welcome that. Our next meeting is July 15. Kirby, remind me, has the telehealth executive order been extended through then, or do we need to watch for an announcement?
As far as the meetings, us meeting virtually?
Yes, ma'am.
So as far as I know, the executive order has not been extended yet. Okay. We haven't heard anything, but just be on the lookout for more information from Avis or I.
Okay, great. So we will be, I think Amy has said she's stepping up for that. So be on the lookout from an email from Rhonda or Amy as we transition. And I thank you guys for everything. And I will, what's our next meeting after July, August, September, October? Either November or December, I will talk to you all then. Have a great summer, everyone.
Thanks.
Thanks, bye. Everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much.